Hey friends, welcome to Proof to Product. I'm your host, Katie Hunt. This week, we are amplifying the voices of Black artists and business owners by rerunning three of our previous podcast episodes. On Tuesday, we heard from Janetta Gonzalez, a Los Angeles-based artist who specializes in licensing and surface pattern design. Yesterday, we had Genesis Duncan of Graphic Anthology on the show. She is a Paper Camp alum and one of our Proof to Product Lab members. And she shared how she had to shift her mindset and step into her role as the CEO. Today on the show, we have online business leader Nicole Walters. She shares why you cannot rely solely on social media for sales. Nicole is a dynamic businesswoman, and I know you're going to learn a lot from her today. I hope you enjoy this special series, and please join me on Instagram at Proof to Product, where I'm highlighting our community members and Black leaders that we're actively learning from.
We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hi, friends. I'm Katie Hunt, and welcome to Proof to Product. Today's guest is Nicole Walters, an online educator, business consultant, and motivational speaker. By age 28, Nicole was a highly paid executive at a Fortune 500 company, managing multi-billion dollar accounts. But something wasn't right. According to Nicole, her job was feeding her family, but not her soul. So she made a plan and ramped up her audience before quitting her corporate job. She now owns and operates a business and product development firm called The Monetized Life. Interesting fact, which we'll talk about on today's show, Nicole quit her job while live streaming on Periscope. In front of 10,000 people. When Nicole is not hanging out with her husband and three foster girls, she shares her secrets to earning passive income with other entrepreneurs through her widely popular course, 1K One Day. In Nicole's words, she teaches people how to add commas to their bank account and that they do not need to trade time for money. On today's episode, we're talking about old school sales strategies and why you can't rely solely on social media for sales. The importance of having multiple revenue streams, and why you need to treat your business like a business from day one. Hey, Nicole, welcome to the show.
Hey, Katie, I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I am thrilled to have you. Thank you for making the time for us.
Of course.
So what is a common mistake that you often see with online entrepreneurs? What kind of mistakes are they making frequently?
So the biggest mistake that I see with online entrepreneurs is that they're so focused on popularity over profitability. So they're not worrying about whether or not they need to serve the 100 people that show up really, really well. They're more focused on making those 100 people into 100,000. And you can have 100,000 people and they're not buying a single thing from you. And that is the real problem.
I love it. I read recently, or I think it was an Instagram story where you said sales existed before social. And I would love for you to elaborate on that with us here today. Like, what's the backstory?
Oh, well, the backstory is, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners can relate to this. Not too long ago, we had a little flub up, right, with Facebook and Instagram where they went down for several hours. And, you know, a social media platform going down usually isn't that big of a deal if you have an explanation behind it. But there was no explanation and no timeline on when things were going to come back up. So that was an issue. And several online business owners were absolutely frantic. They didn't understand how to reach their clients. They didn't know what to do to promote their products, and they absolutely lost revenue. And the message that I wanted to send, the same one that I sent to all of my clients, was that guess what? Sales existed before social. If the only place that you're selling is on your social media platform, well, guess what? It's not yours. You don't own it. You do own the ability to get on your feet and stand in the local park and talk to the mama next to you and direct to your goods. And you do own the ability to email your email list that you have ownership over and let them know, hey, my store is still open. So my clients were still getting paid.
Yeah. So in that same vein, where do you think product-based business owners should be focusing their marketing time and money then?
Well, I definitely think it's about diversifying your efforts. So the thing that's great about social is you have the ability to reach a wide audience for next to free. And we always want to keep our overhead and expenses low by not spending and investing in too much marketing if we can get away with it. But word of mouth is still good. So all that matters is that you're actually able to get to people who have mouths and are able to spread the word. And that means that you can do that at your local PTA. You can do that at your local Chamber of Commerce. And you can also do that by going to events, farmers markets, and collaborating with people in Facebook groups to build out, you know, workshops and meetups so that that way you can sell your products live and in person. Old school still works.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you feel that social media has made entrepreneurs lazy?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that a lot of us feel like sales can be a magical, you know, concoction of words that suddenly gets people in the door. Or maybe if we just have the right flat layer photo or an amazing Pinterest, that's all we need, that magic recipe, that super secret in order to get people in the door. But you know what? What really gets them in the door is knowing your story, being passionate about the product you sell, and then making sure to tell people about it. At the end of the day, if people don't know where you are, they can't find you and they can't pay you.
What do you say to clients that have a hard time telling their story or talking about the products that they make? I mean, that's a real thing.
It really is. And oftentimes I find that whenever people are really struggling to tell their story, it has more to do with them trying to be like someone else. So they think, oh man, I have to be an extrovert, which means my story has to be riveting and exciting and it's got to have adventures and tales. And the reality is, your people will connect with you. What is it they say? Your vibe attracts your tribe. So you want to make sure that you're telling your story authentically and being honest about who you are. Because if you do that, if you tell your true story, well, guess what? You'll never get it wrong. And you never have to be bashful about leading with that. Wear your heart on your sleeve because it's that same heart that'll put cash in your pocket.
Absolutely. And if people don't know what you're selling, they're not going to buy it.
That's right.
You know, I don't know your story.
That's right. The number one thing I always hear from people when they're like, oh my gosh, like I just, you know, I built all these things or I have all these products, but I'm just not getting people in the door. Well, I always ask them, well, how many people did you tell about your business today? And oftentimes they'll say, well, I didn't post or I didn't send an email or I haven't gone anywhere. And I'm like, well, that would be why. Or they'll say, well, I did post today. Well, how many times? Well, one time on Facebook. Well, okay, that's great for the one person who came through the door, but what would happen if you posted twice or three times? Or what if you took that over to Instagram? When I first started my business, I was going live on Periscope 4 times a day. And I know that
4 times
a day, it sounds crazy, but I was looking to build my quit day and move into entrepreneurship full time. So I was putting in the work and putting in the time to get the job done. And that's what's required. You can't think that 4-hour work week is really about working a 4-hour work week. That's how I know you never read the book.
Right? Oh my
gosh,
yes. You guys
can't see, Katie did the preach hands. Katie's like, preach!
That's the real deal.
The reality is, you want full-time salary, but you want to work part-time hours. It's just not real life. I have a multi-7-figure business, but you better believe I'm putting in 40 to 50 hours a week. I'm just doing them where it counts and in a place that really makes my heart sing. And those 40 hours actually feel a lot like 4 hours.
Right, because you're doing things you love and you're enjoying it. So I think the first time I ever heard of you was when you were on Periscope.
Wow.
And you have a fascinating story of quitting your day job while 10,000 people or so watched you do that live on Periscope, right?
Is that correct? It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's more than a little crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where I'd been building my business. So it's always important to lead with this caveat. I didn't just hop on live stream and say, today's it. I'm done. We're kicking this thing. It's over. Even though I know that half the people listening right now at their desk during lunch are like, today's my day. You know, we all get that moment.
But I've been there,
right? But the reality is, I'd been planning. I built a place to go, which is something I commonly talk about. I made sure that I wasn't just having a quit day. I made sure that I was hiring myself. So I'd started selling and I'd done that on the side as a side hustle so that way I had money in the bank. And once I'd reached a certain point where I felt, you know what? I know that I have a viable product. I know that I have people that are interested. And really all I need now is more time so that I can increase my revenue. Well, it was time for me to quit. And I decided to do it in grand fashion. I decided that I wasn't just going to burn the bridge behind me. I was going to singe it and blow away the ashes. And I sure enough went online and in front of 10,000 people, I quit my job. Now I was classy about it. My boss was awesome.
You were super
sweet. But yeah, I quit my job and over 100,000 people watched it within 24 hours after that. And that jump-started everything. And here I am almost 4.5 years later with a multi-7-figure business, and I'm still ticking.
That's awesome. So before you were in the position you're in now, where you're an online educator, a motivational speaker, and a business consultant, you were an executive at a Fortune 500 company. How has that experience enabled you to serve your current customers and clients better?
Sure. Well, I think the best thing about it is I really am doing the same job. I'm just doing it for a different demographic. So yeah. I think that's one of the things that a lot of people struggle with. They think that when you jump into entrepreneurship, you need to be a lawyer who becomes a ballet dancer, or, you know, it's you had to find some mysterious passion that was totally unrelated to the work that you're doing. And the reality is I really considered myself an intrapreneur for years. I was at my company with the spirit of an entrepreneur, giving them my very best while learning and extracting the tools that I felt would help me someday when I was ready to become an entrepreneur. So I do the same work. It's just that now, instead of taking those tools to fat cats at multi-billion dollar companies, I'm taking them to everyday entrepreneurs who are using them to feed their families and their souls. And yeah. That is where I get to find the joy in the work that I do every day.
I'm over here nodding my head, yes, because I feel like we had I worked in the corporate world for over a decade. Mm-hmm. And when I talk about the work I'm doing now with my clients versus what it's just a different demographic, set of skills, same knowledge base, tweak slightly for what their needs are. But ultimately, you know, I'm now serving an audience I love that, to your point, like I'm helping them put food on the table and send, you know, their kids to soccer and all these other things that they're doing. So, yeah,
I totally agree. I think that when you get to spend your time with people that you know really appreciate your work, and honestly, they have a face to it. When you're in corporate, I think one of the hardest things is if you're a real giver and you're somebody who's passionate about your skill sets and how you offer them, it's hard to feel like you're kind of working for a faceless machine. And what's nice is I get to see the outcome of the work that they're doing. I get to see the change and the transition and the transformation in people's families and livelihoods, and being able to really put money into people's pockets and know that it's not just going to a new, you know, Gulfstream jet or a new golf membership at a country club. You know, it's really, really rewarding. And I love it.
Or a corporate table.
Or a corporate table. Right. Exactly. You totally get it. Yes.
I do. So what do you consider to be your primary marketing engines for your business now? And has this changed over time? I know live video has always been one of your go-tos.
One of the things that makes my business very different from typical online businesses is that I actually built out by using corporate strategies. And the biggest thing in corporate is that you focus on lifetime value. Now, that's something that people don't really talk about much in the online space. They're primarily talking about, how do I get more new faces in the door? So whether they're talking about Facebook ads or, you know, a perfect Instagram post or leveraging Pinterest, all those things work and they definitely matter. But my primary focus is actually on converting my existing audience. So we spend less than $10,000 on Facebook ads a year, and we still manage to have a multi-7-figure online-based business. And the reason why is we spend most of our time converting over our audience that's existing and in the door into new products that will serve them better and grow with them as they can continue to grow their businesses. So my biggest marketing engine is honestly strong service while people are in the business. And that is something that people seem to lose sight of in this online world and get caught up in that feast or famine cycle where you're always looking to the next launch in order to feed your pockets. When in reality, the people that are there today, if you serve them well, guess what? They'll continue to serve you and your bank account in the future.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But speaking of that, if you're constantly creating new products for your audience that's already there, do you ever feel like your business becomes bloated? I mean, in the product world, people start to feel like they have too many SKUs and too many things. And I know in the service world, we start to feel like, okay, I've got coaching programs that I'm speaking. And, you know, does it ever feel too bloated to you, like you need to take it back down to basics?
Not at all, because particularly in the service world, everything in my business is built to take a certain amount of time. So there's a structure, there's a journey, and everybody's taking that journey at their own pace. So it makes it a lot easier to be able to, you know, pace myself as they transition. And of course, all the products aren't the same. So some of my products are recurring products where it makes sense for you to be there in a recurring membership way for an indefinite amount of time. And some of my products are enhanced high ticket products, meaning for your business and your brand, it makes sense for us to work together in this model. But I'll be the first one to tell you, if I'm doing my job well, guess what? We shouldn't work together forever. When I get you to that multi-7-figure level, well, we'll work again together once I'm a billionaire. But until then, you know, you've become my peer, and that's my goal. So I've got a product suite that'll get you there, and I'll continue to work with them until they get there. And then, of course, after that, they get to be my peer, and hopefully we can work together in serving people. Maybe we write a book together. Maybe we sell it together in other opportunities. But it definitely isn't bloated because we follow a linear format instead of just building products just for kicks.
Right. And two, I think people need to be cognizant of listening to your audience and hearing what their needs are and where their pain points are, but not just jumping at the first thing you hear and creating something new.
Oh, absolutely. We're not creating a new trend based on somebody saying coconut oil's cool or my competitor has done this. Everything that we have is specifically geared to nurture and grow the experience of our existing customers, because we also know that as that works, well, guess what? We'll bring in new customers just like them, because if they're raving fans, then they're going to send us raving fans. And that has worked out very, very effectively.
That's awesome. I know you work with a wide range of people, both product-based businesses as well as service-based businesses. Do you have any favorite stories or case studies of clients that run on the product side and they've done a good job of diversifying and building passive income?
Absolutely. So one of my favorite product-based businesses is one of my students called Damon. When Damon first came to me, he was working as a mechanical engineer, and he loved the work that he was doing, but he also knew that it wouldn't allow him to serve his passion, which was really animal rescue. And he'd been doing crafting on the side, making wreaths. Now, who would have thought that a loop of ribbon and a little bit of finely placed wire would end up paying the bills? But you better believe he was making it happen. And so he was making these wreaths and he was creating them. But guess what? He only has two hands. There's only so many wreaths that you can sell. And so he transitioned into teaching people how to do this online through a series of live streams, setting up a membership group. Now he has live events. And I am excited to announce that he also has a warehouse. So we finally got him into actually productizing and creating subscription boxes. So one of the things that's awesome is now he's able to serve all of his customers by not just showing them how to make an amazing wreath, but providing the products for them to get it done as well. So he has grown and expanded his product-based business in many different ways and continues to serve people. I think the other day he told me that he had something like 20 income streams. And I was like, we may have to scale some of those back because time matters too. And we want to make sure you're efficient. Right. But I mean, he is out there making it happen, and he's quit his job and brought his spouse home. So all of that came from, you know, what started off as an Etsy-based business.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So shifting gears a little bit, you recently said that you treat each quarter of the year like the start of a new year. What does that process of reflection and goal setting look like for you?
Well, what it looks like is first gathering my team. We start off by looking at best practices about what worked for the previous quarter. So there was always a quarter that happened right before yours. It's not just January to March, you know, it's the quarter that happened before. So we look at that and we say, what worked effectively? What did we launch and what didn't we launch? You know, what did we like about this launch, and how did we serve the people? Did we bring in people well here? Have we hit our revenue goals? I think one of the biggest mistakes that a lot of entrepreneurs make is they look at the entire year in relation to their revenue goals instead of looking at it in 3-month increments. Well, guess what? Corporations look at it quarterly. Why do they do that? Because they want to make sure that if we're not hitting our goals by the end of March, what do we need to adjust to make sure that we do hit our goals by the time that we get to the end of the year? No one wants to hit December and look back and say, man, I wish I'd really turned it up in June, because hitting those goals is something you can fix now. So when we go back and we look at our best practices, we change things, modify and adapt to make sure that on the go forward, that we're applying the things that we've learned to make sure that we hit the goals that matter. And doing that every single quarter means that we get better every single quarter. And every single year, we have more than tripled our business by following this technique.
That's awesome. I was just talking to a client recently who she was telling me, we were talking about the same thing. I'm like, look at the quarterlies, look at your revenue and your expenses, all of it. But she kept saying to me, but I have slow seasons. And there's certain quarters that are slow. And I'm like, I know, but if you can plan for that, know about that in advance, it just sets you up for the long term.
Oh, absolutely. Whenever I have a client, so I have some clients that work in like bridal beauty. So obviously their peak season is really June, July, August, like the wedding season, right? But it gets a little quiet around wintertime because people aren't getting married as often. So I always tell them, first things first, get rid of the concept of slow seasons. What you need to do is figure out what else can I do during that time frame. And while as much as I love entrepreneurship, maybe it's getting a job. You know, maybe it's going in and doing some bridal consultancy. Maybe it's going in and working in a craft store so you can figure out how to make beautiful arrangements or support beautiful arrangements. Like maybe that's your season to enhance your skills so that way you're able to double your revenue during the other seasons. But it should never, ever be slow. If it's too slow, then your business stops. And that's not what we're aiming to do. We're aiming to win.
Yeah, absolutely. So self-care is important to you. I've been watching your journey online. You've lost weight. You're doing a bunch of stuff. Like, and this isn't about your weight, but this is more about you making yourself a priority and your family a priority. I think that is so incredibly important, particularly for entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. But talk about your motivation there. Talk about like how this path has been for you.
Sure. So, well, it's twofold. Like you said, I have a family. So I have three adopted girls and I absolutely love them and I want to be alive and be here forever so I can, you know, get my hugs and give my hugs. So that's a huge part of it is that, you know, I'm a mom and I'm married. And the other side of it is, honestly, I couldn't keep up with my business if I didn't get healthy. That's the reality of it. I did a speaking engagement in Boise, Idaho at the beginning of this journey a little over 2 years ago where I got on stage and it was one of those conferences where it was very walkable, right? So you're, you know, they don't really bother with shuttles and nothing's too far away, but it's not all in one hotel room. It's an outside venue, but it's like, you know, but walk to dinner and then walk to your hotel, very casual. And for most, it's one of the best conferences I've ever been to. And for most people, it would be an amazing experience. However, if you're overweight, I really found myself negotiating, well, do I want to go back to the venue for that activity? Do I really want to attend that breakout session? Do you know, do I really want to go offsite for a meal? And it was really, really disappointing to feel that I couldn't take advantage of an opportunity in front of me because my body was holding me back. Furthermore, I was a keynote speaker. So the idea that I was running in front of the stage and totally exhausted that I couldn't even speak in the first few minutes of my keynote, you know, that just isn't, I want to bring my best to everyone. And that just isn't the best. And they deserve it because, you know, they paid that ticket for me if I am thin and fit, and they paid that ticket for me if I am heavy and overweight. And I want to make sure that I'm giving them the very best, every single minute of knowledge and teaching that they deserve. So I realized that the way I could up-level my business in this particular season was for me to get fit and to get healthy. And I'm grateful. You know, it's worked out really well for me. I'm more confident on stage and I'm able to keep up because more things have landed on my plate since. And I realize I'm really glad I didn't wait.
Good. Well, the other thing is, I think there's such this misnomer of, you know, self-care is going and getting a manicure or like, right, you know, or going to get coffee or whatever. Right. And it's like,
take a nap.
Yeah. Self-care comes in so many different forms. Totally. And so what else are you doing to give yourself the white space you need to be freshest for your clients and to build this business you're building?
So another form of self-care, which, you know, typically isn't talked about because it's not a manicure or massage, is I say no more. So I'm allowed to say no to things that don't serve me, because if I say no, then I'm taking care of the things that do serve me. And that is a form of self-care. So no isn't just saying no to that opportunity is going to take me away for too many days from my family, or no, that flight to that event is just a little too far. No for me is also making sure that I'm saying no to, you know, friends who may want to get together and just chat about things that are negative, and I don't really have room for that mindset, or no to clients that are causing me too much stress or that aren't moving their feet and getting the work done. You know, I want to get results. You know, these clients are holding my testimonials and I'm going after them. So, you know, so if they aren't getting it done, well, guess what? This may not be the place for you. And I've got lives to change. So it may just be a big fat no. And I'm really, really okay with that. That's a form of self-care for me.
I love that you said that, because I feel like this is a journey that I've been on for several years, but I keep honing in, continue to hone in on, okay, what's the criteria for me to say yes? What's the criteria? What makes this a no? What makes it a yes? You know, it is a constant battle because you want to seize the opportunities, but at the same time, you need to protect your time and your sanity.
Entirely. And I think that, I mean, honestly, I do go back and forth just like you, because especially when you love it, you know, and also when you need to get paid, you know, it's one of those things where you really have to analyze everything, you know, but do you have to overthink it all? Not so much. And at the end of the day, it boils down to, if it's not a heck yes, it's a heck no. And I'm okay saying no.
Yeah, I'm definitely in a phase right now where I'm okay saying no.
That's right.
And then there's times where I'm like,
everyone gets there. And also, when you say no, you're also realizing that it's not a flat no. I think for people who struggle with it, sometimes saying no is saying yes to a lot of other things.
Yeah.
So if I say no, I'm saying yes to more time with my family, and I'm saying yes to a really good nap that I deserve, and I'm saying yes to saving money so that we can have a vacation. You know, there's a lot of yeses that come in the place of a no. So I feel really good about saying it sometimes.
Yeah. And I've also gotten better about not right now. Like, I'm still interested in this, but we could do this later. I can't do it at
absolutely.
Time,
you don't have to be all the things to all the people all the time.
Oh, preach on, girl. Preach on. Yes. So this next question, I want to ask it in two parts, but the answer might be the same for both. The first is, what advice do you have for brand new business owners who are just getting started? What do you want them to know from the get-go? That's good. And then the second part's more for seasoned entrepreneurs, but you do this one first and then we'll see.
Okay, cool. So if I were to, and I do work with a lot of brand new business owners, but if you're a new business owner and you're coming to me and saying, you know, what do I need to know today? The first thing that I want to do is give them a reality check. The minute you start taking a dollar in this business, guess what? You're a business. You are getting paid. So you're a business just like any other, which means that you're responsible for making business decisions like a business owner. So act like a business if you want to get paid like one. Get out there and get your legal stuff in order. Make sure that you understand the importance of finances, QuickBooks, getting all that stuff done. And I know it's big and scary, but guess what? If you're on Etsy and you're selling, the government still looks at you as like a regular business, and you don't have to know all these things and be all these things. And you're definitely not guilty for not knowing these things right out of the gate. Everybody starts off making it up as they go. You are just like everyone else. But the reality is, at some point, you must find an expert to get these foundations set up properly, because that is the thing that's going to make sure that you're making the right money. And that is the thing that's going to make sure people take you seriously. And that's the thing that's going to make your husband look at you and say, girl, you were actually out here doing it, because you're acting like a business. So that would be the first thing I would tell any newbie. Don't think that this is just a pretend game that's a hobby where you make a couple bucks. The minute you take a dollar, you are acting like a business and you need to get paid like one.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. What about the seasoned entrepreneurs who are dealing with the growing pains of scaling? What do they need to know?
So the season that I'm in, I would absolutely tell all of these business owners that sometimes the issue in your business is not your product, it's not your people, it's not your marketing or your Facebook ads and copy. The issue is you. Sometimes you have to look at yourself and examine, where do I need to grow as an individual in order to make sure that my business grows? So are you afraid of ceding control? Are you micromanaging your people? Are you afraid to hire people? Are you overweight and unhealthy, which means that you don't have the stamina to get the work done? You know, if you're a seasoned entrepreneur, you need to look at yourself sometimes and say, what is it that I need? And sometimes it's even, am I working too hard? Am I not working smart enough? Do I deserve and need a break? Because sometimes slowing down is the thing that gets you to speed up. So this is what I would tell a seasoned entrepreneur, that sometimes the issue isn't the business. Sometimes the problem's you.
Yeah. Sometimes we get in our own way. Definitely. Because we overthink things, or we don't relinquish control when we need to, or we're afraid to, bring on more team members to handle things because we think nobody can do it the way
That's right. So let go. It's a mind.
Right? I know. It's scary, but we do need to let go. You're for sure right. Okay. Last couple questions here. What does success look like for you right now, Nicole?
I think success right now would look like more time at home. You know, I mean, the business is touching a lot of people. We're growing in an amazing way. We just had an event about a week ago, 1K One Day Live, which is a spinoff of my academy, 1K One Day Academy. And this event had 350 business owners there, and they had an amazing, impactful time. It was great just getting my community together in person. And even better, we walked out of that event, you know, pulling in over seven figures in revenue, you know, and that was just an amazing triumph for the business, you know, and it allowed us to close out our quarter, having made all of our revenue for 2018 already, you know? So, I mean, wow. Our business was just booming. So it's great, you know, to know that in terms of success as a business, I mean, we couldn't be doing better. However, real success is when I look at my kids every morning. So the more time I can get on the couch with them, the more time I can get, you know, having dates night with my husband, that's how I really measure success. And I know I'm getting there. We're spending a good amount of time. Things are still in balance, but I definitely know that more time, is really how I'm going to measure that I'm doing this right, because the revenue is coming in and I'm where it counts.
Absolutely. So what's next for you? What are you and your team working on this quarter or through the rest of the year, if you want to talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we're working on right now is optimization. You know, that is a key part of the framework that I teach in my business. And it's not always about build, build, build. So we, you know, had some new things that we've launched and some new things that we love and some products and courses that we've beta tested. And now it's about optimizing them. So we're going to refilm some content, make sure that they're better structured, and we're going to serve the people that have shown up. We want to make sure that, you know, our offerings continue to sell. And we also want to make sure that these offerings continue to serve. And so that means that we have to show up for the people that have opted in to, you know, grow their business with us. And that's really where we are for the next 3 months, is putting our heads down, doing the work to make sure that we bust out even bigger and better in quarter three, and that the people that are here right now are coming with us, you know, that we're not the only ones making money.
I really appreciate your time.
Oh my gosh, girl, this was fun.
Good. I'm glad I enjoyed it too. Well, where can people find you online if they want to learn about your programs, your services, and your speaking too?
Absolutely. You can learn everything about the business that we have to offer, as well as how to work with me and where I'm speaking at NicoleWalters.com.
Awesome. We will include that in the show notes too. Nicole, I really appreciate your time today, and it was such a pleasure talking to you.
It was my joy. Thank you so much for having me, Katie.
Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to proofyourproduct.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.